Greetings, fellow traveler. As humanity awakens and evolves, we see change in every aspect of our lives. Let's consciously manifest our desires. I am Candace Craw Goldman, and this is New Earth Journey.
Greetings. Today is May 10th, 2016, and this is episode 22 of New Earth Journey. Tonight's topic is manifesting. Ken Elliott is an artist, and a good one at that, and a writer living in Castle Rock, Colorado. He's been on a dual track for over 25 years as an accomplished artist and someone who's experienced and collected astonishing stories. His book is called Manifesting 1, 2, 3, and You Don't Need Number 3. And it's not an ordinary manifesting or law of attraction book. This book contains critically new information beyond the law of attraction and makes the entire manifesting process amazingly simple. And don't we all need that? He says special tools or talents are not necessary. Ken's even experienced sending objects in thought and having them appear in the home of someone gifted enough to describe what had been sent. And I'm looking forward to hearing that story. He learned that intentions instantaneously start to manifest on the other side. And what you are thinking directly influences your life. And if you've been listening to New Earth Journey, you know we talk about that all the time. Ken's view will be presented tonight, and I hope to learn something along with everyone else who's listening. He says that the book also provides an elegant tool for dealing with your worries and negative thoughts, and don't we all have a few of those? So I'm looking forward to learning about that too. Do you have a question about manifesting? Think about giving us a call, maybe in the second half of the show when we'll be taking questions. So, with no more further ado, I'd like to introduce Ken Elliott. Hi, Ken.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the program.
Oh, I am so excited to talk with you tonight and really quite tickled because we could go down two paths as you are a fellow artist and painter.
On a good day, I'm a pretty good painter. Yep.
You really, really are. And your website of your paintings are astonishing. But we are mostly here to talk about your book. But I guess that's not a bad place to start. So here you were being a painter, I guess, when things started happening and suddenly you were learning about manifesting and then wrote the book. Why don't you just tell us your story?
No, it wasn't anything as well put together as that. And thank you for the nice introduction. I really just made all that stuff up. It's not true.
I don't believe it for a minute.
I got into the art business. I sort of grew up in the art business. I was in frame shops, later in the gallery business, that sort of thing. So I was about that. The manifesting thing came in on a separate track. And I came into contact with really one of the most gifted people you can possibly imagine. Her name is Judy Goodman. And a long story short, because we don't have an all-day program here, I contacted her because I had a personal issue. Everybody's got, a box full of those things. And I just couldn't resolve it. So I asked about someone who had lectured and written, and I respected their work. And I called this person and said, who's the most gifted, the most accurate psychic in the country? And she told me to call Judy Goodman. So we plugged in and became very fast friends. She helped me very much with what I needed to do. Of course, I had to do the work. She couldn't just, wave a wand at it. But it gave me a good basis and explanation. And then that's when all this other stuff started to happen. I began to remember some fairly profound dreams, epic sort of dreams. And then I came into a bit of giftedness myself and started meeting other authors and helping them get publicity and helping with their books and this thing and that thing. And that wasn't my toolbox. But I was told ahead of time this thing would start to happen by Judy, and it did in very short order. So that's how that came about. And someone had called me and was describing Judy's abundant gifts. And one of the things that she said that I'd never heard of before is that if I sent Judy an object in thought, that she would be able to see it. She would receive the object. And I had become friends along that same time, a little later, with William Buhlman, B-U-H-L-M-A-N.
Oh, sure. Of the out-of-body experience, Buhlman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're very close. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's judygoodman.com. And let's get this out of the way. My artwork is Ken Elliott, E-L-L-I-O-T-T.com. This isn't the Ken Elliott Gallery Hour here. We have much more important things to do, but some people might want to follow along and see what that art business was about.
Sure, absolutely.
We won't come back around to that. So I was talking with William one time. We became very close. I was doing his website, and I was privy to the 10,000 letters he had at the time from people all over the world. And we're having a private conversation, and William just threw this thing out. He said, he makes lists, which surprised me. And he would tell me the things on his list, and they would come true. Then he'd make a second list. He'd tell me that. And I was sort of in awe of that. Now, Judy and William are very special people, right? I mean, they write books, and they lecture, and they know things. And, they're very, 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 very. and I'm just, a guy who's trying to put some paintings together and get by. And I hadn't been in the presence of company like this. So there's a part of me thought, well, I can do what they do, maybe. And William was teaching how to go out of body, and I'd had a tiny bit of success with that. But one day William told me something about his list. He said sometimes he goes to the other side, which he does a few times a week. Judy goes over there every night. And William said on occasion he'll see the things on his list just arrayed over there, just lined up over there. And something that's been on his list a short period of time looks like a puff of smoke. And I went, what? He said, yeah. And if I've been on something for a couple of weeks or so, and I'm looking at this wish list every day and touching it or, whatever you do, light a candle on it or just, put it on the mirror. When you brush your teeth, you see it. If he's had something that's been on the thing, on the wish list for a few weeks, that puff of smoke, that next thing over that's been on the list longer, is a little more congealed. It starts to get more 3D. And you can make out what it is, maybe. And it has a blush of color on it. And again, I went, what? And they went on to say, now something's been on the list for weeks or months. Sometimes it might take a year or two. That thing is very solid physical. If you stay with this, touch this thing every day, in a sense. It's intention. If you just continue to layer this intention, you revisit this intention, it takes more and more form. It's fully 3D. It's solid physical over there in the spirit world. We can't see it, but I have friends that can. Judy, one of those. William, when he goes the other side. And he said, that thing is so 3D, it's coming over into the physical world. And that's how thought makes things.
That's amazing. That's really, really amazing. It's easy to follow if it's like a new car you wanted or a fancy house or something. Mm-hmm. But what about more kind of ephemeral things like health or happiness or that kind of thing?
It will make concepts and it will make objects. It'll get you the roof on the house. It will make happiness, less stress. It will make the things that you fear, the things you worry about. I'm unworthy. I'm going to get fired. Mm-hmm. I'm unworthy. I can't get this job. I'm not smart enough to have the right people in my life, So any thought you make, if you repeat it, it will build the thing. So you take a cup of coffee and hold it out over the table, and you know, if you let it go, gravity will bring it to the ground 100% of the time. Gravity is a natural law, and gravity just pulls things to the ground. Now, let me get this over to your audience clearly. Mm-hmm. This is one of the most important things that we can possibly know. I'm not taking ownership of this. It was demonstrated to me, and I learned it, and I'm passing it on. I don't have any ego in this because I didn't invent this process, nor did I discover it. I was aware of this for years, expecting somebody else to write the book, but no one else came forward with this information, so it fell to me to write it. So thoughts are like a natural law. Let's just think of it as a natural law, like gravity. And when you think of something, it begins to take form in the field around you, the unseen field around you. And all you have to do is repeat it, and it begins to build it. So-called good things, so-called bad things. Mm-hmm. Now, here's
You have a funny story about the very first thought that manifested, don't you? That's what you were starting to tell, and I interrupted you, but it is a great story.
No, I'm not there yet. You know, what I want to do here is... if it's okay, is give you the key to the kingdom first.
Oh, well, great. Do that.
I don't get on and tease the book. I'm going to give you what you need.
Okay.
When I first heard William Buhlman, he told me, if you do this thing every day for 30 days, you'll go out of body. And I went out of body on the 28th day. He wasn't teasing the book. He had a truth and he put it out there. So what you just learned was how thought works. Now, there are hundreds of books on manifesting. And I support everybody that talks about this. I want people to make wishes and make wish lists and vision boards and whatever you saw, The Secret, and pray. That's a different thing, but it is an intention. You go into the top on that or to the special prayer department. We don't know exactly what all that is. But you are allowed to make things on your own. And you don't have to understand how this works. We don't know how. Do you know how gravity works?
No.
Do you know what happens when you breathe this air around you can't see? I mean, it's a gift. It's your birthright. And so with thought, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not, if you understand it, if you can see it or feel it, it doesn't matter. But if you repeat a thing, it will happen. And, you know, thinking back, we've all had these times in our life where we'll think of somebody and give them a call, and it just happened to me today. And they'll say, oh, my gosh, you know, I've been thinking about you too. Or you worry yourself to death about worrying yourself sick. You've heard that phrase? Well, people do that. They do that. Or they can worry themselves into a miserable life. Or let's say it's below normal because they're so consumed with having a life that doesn't have any happiness in it. So it can manifest that. I'm not much on terminology. I don't like to say this is a test of faith. It's not. That if you're really good at meditation, you'll do better than the guy that's not as good. It could make a small difference, but it's not a big thing. So it's simply like gravity. If you hold it out, hold that cup out, let it go, it's going to fall to the ground. If you start thinking of something and repeat that thought, it's building. And I can get calls from Judy. She'll say, hey, you're doing good on that. Or that idea is fading away. Do you care about that business plan anymore? And I've been letting it go. So she can see it come and go. She can also see when I entangle it with worry or if I'm building this really positive thing and on another separate track, I'm building this fearful thing. You know, you can manifest that perfect career and on another track, you can say, you know, they're going to find out about me when I get in there and they're going to fire me. And you can manifest both of those things separately. You can get the job and you get fired, you know. So quite simply, There's some wonderful little bonuses to put with this. You already have enough to make extreme changes in your life, beautiful changes in your life, beginning now. And we could hang up and you can just wander off and fill around with that. But let me give you some more stuff you can do because this is incredibly simple. And it's all in that book. It's manifesting123.com. And I have a newsletter that comes out every Friday. Generally with stories from readers. So if you get on that newsletter every Friday, you're going to get something from people like us, regular folks.
Well, that's great. I didn't know about your newsletter. I'm going to be signing up right now.
Come on. And if somebody sends me a story and I use it in the newsletter, and I've never turned one down. I mean, they're real and I love those stories. So everybody gets a book. I'll send them a signed book as a thank you. So, all right. So, the manifesting 1, 2, 3, the number one part is about how to make things happen. Now, here are those little bonus things. Your thoughts can make the future. This is unbelievable. This is too good to be true. I mean, there's this crazy stranger on the radio show here, and he's saying to you that you can make anything. And if that's true, what would you like to do? You know, I've come up with this. I didn't come up with it, but I'm offering some information that's like a new discovery. Now that you know that this is new and anybody can do it, what would you like to do with it? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? So everything, thought comes before everything. And the secret, they talk about the law of attraction. The thought comes first. And when you have a thought, now things can come, they can be attracted to the thought. But if there's no thought, there's no such thing as law of attraction. Let me take that a step further. All right, so you are manifesting, we'll think about the law of attraction kind of thing. You're manifesting, you need a good car. It could be a good new car. It can be a new car, but you're working on this new car. And that's the thing you manifest. Now, things can start to happen in your field. You'll see an ad in the paper. A friend may have a car they want to trade in. You know, all these things could happen in your field. That would be a law of attraction thing coming to that thought. Well, here's another thing that happens with people who read the book. This happens a lot. They wake up in the morning and they instantly know they're happier. There is no law of attraction in that. Or they instantly know they don't have the stress. It's something's happened. They're not going to have the same degree of stress they had before. That happened internally. And I can't tell you how that works, but they're using this manifesting business and they're getting a result. So that's pretty good. So here's one of those bonus things. Your thoughts can make the future. So in the book, I have a thing that's called a movie. Everybody's good at watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
May not good at manifesting or think we are, or meditation or faith or all that, but everybody can watch a movie. We're all good at just sitting and watching a movie. So what you do, what's recommended here, is that you imagine you're in your future and the things you desire have already happened. Your thoughts, that little machine, I'm not going to call it a machine, but just, you know, to try to bring this thing along, whatever you're thinking, it starts to build it, and my friends can watch it. I'll never forget what William Buhlman said. I don't think I use this word in the book, but when I question him again about, you know, his thoughts are arrayed, and he can put something on his wish list and go over there later, a few days later, and watch it begin to form, he said, I'd be an idiot not to do this. And that was like guy to guy. That's guy talk. And I went, holy smokes. You know, maybe I need to be doing this. No, they're special. And so I didn't do anything about this. I didn't realize I could use it for me for 3-4 years or more. And then I saw the movie The Secret, bless their hearts, and there were all those people talking about this stuff, but they didn't know how thoughts take form. So there were a lot of assumptions being made, and they're good assumptions, that if you do this or repeat that and yada, 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 then you're going to get a pretty good result. Your chances will improve of making something happen. Well, what I've had demonstrated to me for almost 20 years now is quite simply, if you begin to think of the thing, it starts to make it. Right then, and my friends can see it. They can watch it happen in real time. So that's extraordinary. Now you have, I keep using that word, the keys to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not happy with your life, there's two things in play here. The first one is you're responsible for a whole lot of what happened. If your life is not what you desire, then you're not fully responsible, but you have a great deal of responsibility for that outcome. And here's the good news, you can change it. And I've seen miraculous things, incredible stories. People call you up with these stories and you just scream at each other. I put it in the book that way. We just scream at each other like teenage girls. You know, shut up, no way, what, whoa. We just laugh hysterically because it can't happen. But it happens. So you go in your future and you imagine these things that have already happened. And then you say this. In each scene, every one of these little things is a scene. One might be a job. One might be that car. One might be happiness. One might be stress control. And in every one of these scenes, you visualize in your future, it's already taken place. And then you say, after every one of those scenes, I'm so very grateful. There's a lot of talk about gratitude right now. It is the force magnifier. That thought is a target. That thought is a mold, and your thoughts will create something. It will make a thing. It'll make a thing. And I can't say it enough. The more you repeat it, the more it gets into full form over there, and it'll tip over to the physical world when it's fully formed over there. When you put gratitude on it, it forms up a lot quicker, a lot quicker. For years, all I did was just concentrate on things really, 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 really hard. And I'm not really, really not good at that. I'm terrible at this. I'm terrible at this, but I get world-class results. My mind wanders. I fall asleep. I think of something else. I'm manifesting my future. It's very important stuff. And you would think I don't care because my mind goes all over the board. But I don't beat myself.
You're just human. You're human, just like the rest of us.
I'm just so darn normal. Yeah. Yeah. Or abnormal, as they said in that Young Frankenstein. I love that. That's number one. You're going to your future. And we'll come around to that story, but this is the way to do it. When I tell the story, I didn't know what I was doing. So in every scene, you think of the thing and visualize it. You don't need a lot of detail. I'll give you an example. If you're going after the perfect home, you don't have to put all those details in there because thoughts are extremely literal. And they're not extremely literal. They're just literal. If you say blue, it makes blue. If you say popcorn, it makes popcorn, period. And so you have to be very careful, and I don't want anybody to be scared about it, but you don't go into your future and say, I want the roof on the house, because it's a command. And what you've literally said is, I am wanting for a roof.
Right.
So nothing happens.
Exactly. Yeah, I learned that a little bit. You know, the first place I learned that was some of the Native American Indians, their rain dance. Uh-huh. My understanding is that their rain dance wasn't saying, please give us rain. The rain dance was, isn't this wonderful that we are in this amazing water coming from the sky, and we're so grateful that that all of this rain is raining down upon us.
Bingo.
So they had a clue. They weren't saying we want rain. They were saying thank you for the rain that is here, even if they were in dust.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how you do it. And your thoughts will create that outcome. So you go into your future, and I can't say this enough. It has already taken place. They're not out there dancing and saying, well, sometime by Tuesday at 4 o'clock we can get some rain. Okay, you think? Please, Mother, may I? No. In your future, it's already happened, and you're grateful. Period. Go into the next scene. Now, it doesn't take a lot of detail for the perfect home, or the perfect partner, or the perfect career. I don't say job, do I? Perfect career. It's kind of like the prize patrol comes up and says, congratulations, you now have your perfect career. Well, I don't know what that is. Well, look at this. You go, oh, my God, that's perfect. That's what you're making. And everybody knows perfect when they see it. If you're going to, if you put detail in there, that's going to really just sort of slow down the process. Does mm-hmm. it slow it down? Well, it has more stops to make. This is a good way to say it. Yes, you want that perfect career. And you say to yourself in your future, but first, when I lose 5 more pounds, see, that's a hurdle. And when I can get a car that runs better, there's another hurdle. Now, that's two things that have to happen before you get the perfect career. It's not necessary. You're in your future. Perfect career's already happened. And you're so grateful. You don't even have to see where it is or what it is. You don't have to have that sort of detail. So a lot of this stuff takes place. I do it on my couch. It's like I'm in at the end of the day in my future, and I'm sitting on the couch, and I observe I have perfect health. I don't have to see an absence of stethoscopes or hospitals. I observe I have perfect health, and I'm so grateful. So I go down the list. Now, if you wanted to go to, where in the world would you like to go? Let's see if it's a trip. Where do you want to go?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I want to go to Ireland, and I am going to Ireland.
Okay. All right. Well, if I wanted to go to Ireland, then I would be specific. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not specific about where I want to be in the world. And I have had some wonderful trips in places I would never think I would go. It wouldn't be on the top of my list, and I so enjoyed it. But in your case, I would say, all right, I'm imagining that I'm in Ireland. And I'm walking through the countryside, and I just love it. And I can hear the birds, and I can see in the distance the ocean off the cliffs. And now I'm in a pub, and I'm enjoying that. And now I'm over here looking at the architecture, just going down a common street, and look at those red post office boxes. And, you know, I put in a lot of detail. And my future, my thoughts, will build that detailed future. In other words, I'm targeting Ireland. This is not Buenos Aires. You know, this is all about Ireland. So it'll make Ireland. And when you're over there, you can see, if you could see that, if you're out of body, you could see this place. Or if you're gifted, highly gifted, or I'll just say specially gifted for this, you could see things that look like Ireland forming up.
Mm-hmm.
It would start to show. Something like happiness, health, those look like clouds because they don't have form. And I asked William about that when we were having lunch one day. And I said, well, what does happiness look like? And he pointed up to a cloud. He said, see that cloud? It's all windblown. It's just a wisp. It doesn't have any real shape. Now, look at this cloud over here in the other part of the sky. You can see every outline, every edge. You know, you could draw that with a pencil. I said, that is a fully formed. That's what a fully formed concept looks like. And when you're over there, you can see, you know what that wisp is. And you can watch the progress of that thing coming into complete form. It'll look like a cloud, but you know what it is. It kind of makes perfect sense that your thoughts would do something, because there's all this evidence that they are doing something. But until now, apparently, no one's come forward and explained precisely how it works. So do we have a commercial break coming up, or should I just go right into that story?
We have no commercial break. Please tell me a story, but I know I'm gathering questions. Do tell us the story about just my own questions. But okay. Let me just give the phone number in case anybody who's listening right now does have a question. The number to call is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. But I've got some questions for you at some point, but I want to hear your story, your very first manifesting of an object with your friend, because it's a good one.
No, the rose or the duck?
Oh, the duck.
Yeah,
please.
I thought you wanted to do the duck.
The duck is amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. So I had been sending Judy things in thought now for a few years. Now, again, I never thought that I could use this to do something for me, you know, to get the better career or get some things fixed around here or, you know, be happier or any of that sort of thing. I just would send her things. So how dumb is that? I mean, really, William's telling me he puts stuff on a wish list and it happens over there and he'd be an idiot not to do it. And I didn't take action. Maybe you should be listening to somebody else's radio show here.
No, I love it because we're all like that.
Yeah,
all like that. We all just sort of smile and then go on with our day and continue down the same path of doing the same thing over and over again and just wishing and hoping something would change.
Yeah, I keep hitting my finger with a hammer until I realize, you know, I don't need. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And I'm not embarrassed about saying that I was very slow in the uptake about this, because it's a demonstration of just how normal or below normal I'm about this. But once I hit the switch on this, things started to happen. So I had this thought. Sometimes you wake up and things are put in your head. Sometimes your little brain just works on its own. I looking back, I think this was put in my head. Somebody said, you know, it's about time this guy... we get into his skull here and make him make a move here because he's doing nothing. So I woke up with this idea and I called Judy up. I'm in San Francisco at the time. She's 2,100 miles away in Georgia. And I said, hey, are you busy? She said, no. I said, well, I've got this idea. She said, just one? Very encouraging. You know, she's had a lot of patience with me on this little stupid thing I'm doing. It's really profound that I'm sending her things and she gets them. But I'm really pretty dumbed down about this thing. So she would play with me about that. But she never ran out of patience on it because she knew someday this was going to happen, that we would be talking about this and lighting people up. So I said, all right, do you have a chair there in your study? That's where she was. She said, yeah, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to think of something, but instead of calling you later or the next day, I want you to stay on the phone. And you can watch this form up in real time, I guess. I don't know how this stuff happens. She said, okay, so what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to think about it really, really hard, because I didn't know about this gratitude stuff. She said, okay, go for it, bucko. Grasshopper. It's a kind way of saying dummy. She would never call me that. So, all right. So I'm an artist, right? And we have the cockamamie view of the world. We have to do things different. We have to put pink polka dots and everything. So, and I needed a proof of concept here that whatever I'm going to send her isn't common. Somebody playing outside isn't thinking of it, or it's not running around in the airwaves. So very quickly, I came up with this idea of a 5-foot-tall Daffy Duck. Now, I don't have a picture of a Daffy Duck, and I don't need one. I can just think of a Daffy Duck, and that's good enough to build one. I don't have to be accurate. I don't have to be an artist or a creative. It could have been a cup and saucer. Doesn't matter. And I've sent her all kinds of objects before. So this is more complicated. 5-foot-tall Daffy Duck. He's sitting in that chair. Now, before, I just float things over there, but I didn't specifically put them in location. And he's got this vertical stick, kind of like a yardstick, wooden yardstick. And there's a horizontal sign, a board tacked on the top of that. It's like a T. And that little board on the top, on the front of it, in red lipstick, it says love on it. So it's a pretty complicated object. Before, I just sent, you know, a flower or a thing, one thing. Or I'd send her, something happy, you know, a happy emotion. I could send emotions like that. So I go to work on this thing. What do you do? A Daffy Duck. It's got this, you know, handmade sign. It's got love on it, red lipstick. And I'm going through this thing. Oh, there's an elephant going by. And, oh yeah, I got this bill to pay, and what am I going to do about it? Oh, yeah, Daffy Duck, and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm just cramming this thing as hard as I can, and I don't even know how to cram it. You know, I'm just, and that's a scientific word, but guys do that sort of thing. They'll just hit something real hard or cram it down a hole, and that's make things work. I had no finesse, no clue. I had nothing. I just Daffy Duck and Daffy Duck, 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 and the sign and the red lipstick. And after 2 minutes, I was just totaled out. I was just a car wreck. And I thought I had done a spectacular job because I was tired of thinking after 2 minutes. Can you imagine? Is someone like
yes.
You?
Yes. No, I can imagine.
All right. Well,
easily.
I felt very subpar about that. But nonetheless, I had 100% success rate on this. Years of this, 100% success rate with Judy. But I never did anything in real time. So I had done my big time 2 minutes worth. And I said, what I always say, okay, I'm just popped. I don't know what else to do. So what'd you get? And something unexpected happened. She raised her voice a little bit. She didn't yell at me, but she picked up her voice and she was intimidating. That's not her style. That's not her heart. And she said, are you trying to send me something? And I said, well, yeah, I'm working my fanny off on it. And these are like direct quotes. And she said, well, you have a wimpy thought. You get a wimpy result. You're just making smoke of the chair, man. And you need to get on this thing. You're just wasting my time. You need to get on this. And I was scared. I was intimidated. I'm losing a friend. I'm a failure. This is all fake. Or I'm fake. There wasn't a single positive in it, except one thing. And because she raised her voice at me, she told me something true was happening, but she did it on purpose. And I didn't think about the thing she said. You're just making smoke in the chair. There wasn't any smoke in the chair, and my thoughts were creating form. Now, if she'd have said, oh, Ken, you're so good at this. You're so handsome and clever. look, you made a little bitty piece of vapor in the chair. Oh my God, you're so special. Well, I might have just taken the rest of the day off and said, oh yeah, I'll get back to you later on this. You know, no, I doubled down. I was intimidated. I'm failing. I may be losing a friendship. I'm just upside down bad at this. So I put in another 4 minutes I didn't think I was capable of doing. And at the end of those 6 minutes, now I knew that thing about William. I knew how thought takes form, but she intimidated me, and that thought never, you know, that puff of smoke never caught hold. And so I put in another 4 minutes. I have 6 minutes total on this. I said, I don't know what to do. I'm just toast. So what have you got? She said, are you trying to send me a cartoon character? I got a lump in my throat over that one. You know, you watch these gifted people or these unusual things happen on television, and that's one thing, but when it knocks on your door, that's a wholly different ballgame. And I got choked up. And I said, yeah. She said, well, there's some poor little human-y thing in the chair. He's 2.5 feet tall. He's got skinny arms and skinny legs, and he's got cartoon colors on him. So I figure he's a cartoon character. And he's got a stick in his hand. 6 minutes, 2,100 miles away, Mr. Thunder Dunder over here started creating a Daffy Duck just by thinking about it. And I didn't do a world-class job of thinking about it either, but it was forming up anyway, because it doesn't have to be a world-class job to do this. Mm-hmm. We do this. We've been doing this our entire lives. We're all expert at this, but you never knew how it works. A lot of people get into these manifesting books and they just blow out. They don't get the result. But there's things that happen when you start to do this. Now you know it works. Don't give it up. Even if you can't see it, if you don't think something's happening, it is so happening. Just stay with it. And don't give up on this. Don't give up on it. Every time you put a quarter in the machine, you get a quarter worth back. You know, it's that kind of thing. Well, you can put a quarter in the machine. You can get something spectacular out of it. I'm just trying to say, you put in a thought, you get a result. It's the most important thing that we can do is to simply take the time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it takes to go through these scenes in your movie, and go through that and have gratitude with everyone. And let's get to your questions. And I do want to get on talk about the fear a little bit before we go away. I can't.
Oh, yeah. That's number one question is the worry thing. You know, people spend, I've got a mother right now who's 89, and I've been doing my best. You know, I do some of this kind of work myself and counsel people. And some people, they've done it for so long. They've been a worrier for so long that it's such a hard pattern. It's such a hard thing to break. But are you saying you can manifest a version of yourself that doesn't worry, or how does that work?
Yes, you can. Anything in your present, you can change. And all you have to do is, and I like to use the example of the barking dog. Bark, 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 bark. It just irritates the heck out of you. I see, I'm on the radio, almost said that word. That, yeah. Anyway, things that dogs do. So it's bark, 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 bark. Well, if there's something that's bothering you, irritating you, it could be the boss, it could be the tone of voice of that daughter or this thing or that thing, you can go into your future. And in your future, whatever that is, it does not exist anymore. Now, we're not going to kill off people here.
That's my first thought.
I know. And there's two women whose husbands just jumped up and decided they want to get a divorce out of the blue. And it's kind of like they killed off a character in a book. You know, it kind of spooked them. But and that was their plan, but they're waiting for the children to get through school. So this magically happened ahead of schedule. If there's something in your present that you don't desire, and it could be that boss or the office politics or these things that are important to you that really take you down a notch, in your future, you can observe when you're going through the office or you're at the Thanksgiving dinner with a dysfunctional family or whatever it is, that it's really nice. Now, you don't have to have these people in the scene, but you can make the observation that barking dog, you can't hear that barking dog. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. We're not going to kill off the dog here. But in the future, you imagine that barking dog is no longer a problem. And you're very grateful. You go into the next scene. So what can happen? The dog continues to bark. And your friends come over for dinner. And they're going, what is with that damn dog? And you're going, oh my God, I haven't noticed that dog barking for 3 days now. It bothers the heck out of them, but it's like you've been inoculated. Or maybe they move. Or maybe the dog gets a sore throat. Or maybe something comes up and scares the heck out of him and he can't speak about it anymore. I don't know. But you can get a reduction. People have done these things medically where they might have a pain. They're dragging, got an ankle pain, and they're having to drag a foot a little bit or something like that. And they'll go in their future, and that has been perfectly taken care of. And they're so grateful. And they'll call, they'll write in, and they'll say, there was a new procedure that came out, or I got another doc, or I finally went to the doctor, thank you very much, and got a little help. And did I get the miracle cure? No. But you know what? It's as good as perfect to me because I don't have the pain that was associated with that before, and I'm happy as a clam. Call it perfect for me. I'm fine with it. It's so much better than what it was. Did I do that? Did I manifest that? There's the equivalent of these things. People are always in, there's that word need. We'll use the word desiring. Most of us could always desire some more money. There is the equivalent of money. You go into your future and that rent is not a big problem anymore. You don't have a problem with the rent. You're not month to month on your bills and expenses anymore. And something can happen here in the future where you got a better apartment. You got a reduction in your mortgage. It's the equivalent of money. You're spending less money on expenses. Something just happened. But you didn't have to work 5 more hours of overtime a week to pay for that. No, it just happened on its own. It's the equivalent of income. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot. A lot. That's why you don't want to put a lot of detail in the future, because it opens up the idea of equivalency. It opens up the idea of these things that look miraculous, because we call them miracles because we couldn't think of it. Well, it's nothing for that to be built, because you have a matrix of billions of different ways for something to happen. And it's amazing what can be done by just thinking of the thing, making the target, making the mold, and adding gratitude to increase the power and the speed of this thing, and it starts to build it.
Ken, let me ask you, can you, and I know you've already talked about the dog or the boss, but can you manifest for somebody else? Can you manifest health for somebody else, or help them? And can you manifest, their moods to be better or their situation to improve? Yeah. And do their thoughts cancel out yours? And how does all that work in your mind?
Well, I think their thoughts can cancel out yours. Absolutely. But it's not like you can take their calculus test. You can't run your kid's 100-yard dash. But you can have influence in the field. I've talked with Judy about this a lot, who's on the other side quite a bit and can see energies in real time and see thought take form and what it can do for people and for people that are close to them. So, yes, you can ask for their best and highest good be done. That's a direct quote from Judy. Very wise words. You can ask for their best and highest good be done. Now, you're not in charge. You don't know what that is. You want the best thing for them. And if you're very wise, you want the best thing for what it is they're here to do, their walk, why they're here in this life. And so you can have influence in the field. Can you directly change everything for them? No, no, no. But you can have influence. You know, it's a good day for your son to take the test. You know, he's alert when he walks in there. Or it's a great day for the family. It's a good day for the family that's suffering over an illness with someone they love dearly. Maybe the right words can be said, the right thoughts come in. I mean, who knows? It's 1,000 different things. Mm-hmm. And you may not be able to see this directly as it would work for you. But we have a lot of influence on us directly.
Let me ask you about Judy. If she can see other people's thoughts like that, she must have a very full world walking down a city street. How does she navigate the world if things are that visible to her? I mean, that's just fascinating.
Up with, Yeah, she was born with it.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of people walk around the planet that were born with those levels of gifts, and there are some. Mm-hmm. So you get used to it. You know, you don't hear the airplanes going over your head anymore if you live near an airport. It's that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in New York City and you get on the street every day and you're walking to work, well, it's pretty busy there, but you navigate your way through. Mm-hmm. You get used to it. Your brain adjusts to that.
Don't you think that more people are accessing that? And these days that things are sort of changing in our realm, and maybe I know that I talk a lot with my own clients and community about how manifesting seems to be happening a little faster for all of us. Do you find that that's true?
I don't know. More people are aware of it, and more people are aware of cat videos on YouTube. You know, it could be one of those kind of things. And we're very aware of cat videos. We can have conversations about those now. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure. People that are close to me that are very gifted will answer that in a yes. But I can't say that for myself. Mm-hmm. But we are getting a lot more information about this that used to be called, you know, woo-woo or metaphysical. Mm-hmm. But it comes up in the television shows. It comes up in theaters and in movies and plays where, you know, there's that little magical thing that happens and the plot line shifts on that. Mm-hmm. You know, Tinkerbell comes in and bing, and then, oh, now we're off to a new place because of a new insight that happened miraculously. So it's a nice thing, but that is going on all the time. I just don't know if it's on the increase. Well, if I correlate it to the number of people that know cat videos, yes, it's very much on the increase because we're more aware of it.
And how about things like, I was just thinking as we're speaking, and I think about these things all the time, but sacred sites, like healing sites or whatever, where mm-hmm. amazing, wonderful things happen, like in certain places. So then other people travel there and they imagine and play in their movie that their miracle or their amazing thing will happen in that place. Then these places seem to be filled with those sorts of energies where these amazing things can happen. Do you think that like thoughts like that influence other thoughts around, even if they're not direct?
Well, there's a proven placebo effect. And people do see energies at these places, very positive energies. So I think the answer is all the above. But also, every one of us is its own sacred space. And if your intention is to go to Lourdes and throw those crutches away, which they have up there in the hundreds, then you're thinking about that over and over and over. Those are layers of intention. Now you're going to put some money down for a ticket. That's a layer of intention. Now you're going to talk about it to your friends. Those are layers of intention. You know, you have hundreds of layers of intention before you even get on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is already forming over there on the other side. Now, if you have a doubt about this, it can entangle that, or you can have a wholly different thing you're manifesting that this isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have them both happen. You can throw those crutches away, and on the plane home, you realize you can't walk down the aisle of the plane anymore. You know, you've created two different things. Congratulations. We just make things.
You had me thinking earlier on in the show when you talked about when people would manifest something and scream, and we have those things in our society now. We say, no way, or, you know, that's not happening, or this isn't possible.
Yeah.
And sometimes I hear clients when they start to say that, and I say, just don't be saying those words. How about say, I'm so grateful this has happened. Isn't this wonderful? Wouldn't this be fun for other people? But isn't it strange that colloquially we will say, I mean, you know, the common thing to say is no way.
No way.
You're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
I don't worry
about that too much.
But you know, on the more serious side, in some of my own sessions with clients, when they've had remarkable improvements in their lives, mm-hmm. many of them keep it to themselves because whether it's directly or intuitively, they know that if they go back to some of their friends and family who don't believe these things are possible, and then they insert themselves into kind of a situation where they hear the negativity or hear the, you know, that's impossible and that can't happen, and they may be afraid that they'll be influenced by that. So it's kind of smart sometimes to keep those things to yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like seeing that commercial on television. It's a one-off. It's not something you sit down to do every day. You're not putting gratitude behind it. You're not loading it up emotionally. It's a one-off. You know, you're happy. No way. But, you know, it's already happened. So it's not going to, yeah, you've already cashed a check, so to speak. So it's okay. It's okay. It's just a one-off thing. But it's those things you repeat. It's quite simple. Your thoughts will make the thing you think. And when you repeat it, it builds. You're just stacking bricks.
Well, we have we only have a few more minutes left in the show, and I'm going to ask something that I wonder if you've been asked before, but I'm excited about asking this question.
All right.
Have you ever thought about, have you ever considered, or have you ever tried to manifest something in the past and not in the future?
No, I haven't. The future can be manipulated. I'm not clear on the past, but I can relieve something in the past that gives me trouble. I can manifest remembering useful or important things from the past that maybe I have forgotten. I can do that with manifesting, that I get what I need out of the past. But changing the past, I'm about the future anyway. So everything that's brought me here is fine. And I do want to go back to the medical thing when I was talking about the crutches. And I don't want to be flip about that because I was on crutches for a while myself. But we all have these things going on in our lives. And it's my feeling that some of this is destiny. And we're all going to die of something, aren't we? Nobody gets out of here alive. And no one gets out of here without pain. So it may be if we have a chronic illness that we are the teacher of that thing, or we the student of that thing, perhaps. So some of these things come upon us, and they may not be manipulable, but we can use manifesting to bring the best possible outcome from this, whatever that might be. It might look bad, but it's not always that way. I remember a remarkable interview with a man who was a prisoner in Vietnam, horribly tortured for many, many years. And they ask him, he's fine and healthy now. He's lost a step or two. But the interviewer said, if you had the choice of not going through that concentration camp, would you avoid it if you could go back? He had about a 2-second thought. And he said, no, I would do it again because it made me who I am. I'm a much better person, a completely different person. I wouldn't want to do it. But yes, I would have to say yes to going through that again. That's a remarkable answer.
I'll stop you in your tracks.
Yeah, sure did. So on the fear, that number two, fear is a thought, and your thoughts can make anything. So if you repetitively think that or worried that you can't pay the bills, that you can't get that job, that you can't get that perfect partner, whatever that thing is, and you repeat it, it will build it. And you're going to load that up was one of the two most powerful forces in the universe. One is love, gratitude. The other one is fear, worry. Worry is fear. So you can't afford to create these things, really. We don't want to bring that on ourselves. So you take action on that worry. I can't tell you, don't worry about it. Or have a beer. You know, it's just kick the can down the road. No. So let's take action on that worry. What that means is it's in the middle of the night and you're just worried sick about something. Grab your smartphone, get a piece of paper, and write down some action items. All right, if it's physical, you got that pain in the elbow, it's really getting chronic. 9 o'clock in the morning, you're going to call the doctor. Damn it. You're going to call the doctor. 9 o'clock. Later in the day, all right, you'll look up some symptoms on the internet, whatever. But basically, in this case, you're just going to call the doctor. And chances are it's not going to be anything. But you can create something really traumatic happening on that elbow. That pain's a sign of something. But let's not put cancer there, right? let's not get gangrene going there, or something like that. So when you take action on it, you're coming off of that fear a little bit. You can't eliminate it. But at the end of the day, you said, well, you know, I did this thing on the list. I called the doc. I looked on the internet. I did this and that. That's all I can do today. Oh, yes, I can go into my future. In my future, this pain doesn't exist. And get a good night's sleep. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. If you find yourself worrying about it, have a laugh. Have a laugh.
Well, that's wonderful. And I've had some nice laughs with you tonight, Ken. Let's remind our listeners once again how they can find you and your book, because we are out of time.
Okay. It's www.manifesting123.com. And please go up there and look at that newsletter archive. There's well over 100 stories in there on every subject.
I can't wait. I'm going to sign up as soon as we sign off.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken, so much for being my guest this evening. And until next time, remember, all shall be well. Thank you for listening, everyone. Good night. Thank you.